Romans chapter 10. Now, folks, get your Bibles out, get them greased, get your fingers greased up, and we're going to use your Bible tonight a little bit. It is Wednesday night Bible study, amen? Okay, let me try that again. It is Wednesday night Bible study, amen? Okay, thought I was in a Methodist church. Even had the baptistry beside me. All right, Romans chapter 10, we're going to start reading in verse number 6, and you follow along with me here. But the righteousness which of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, watch this, and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, please help me tonight. Help me to be filled with your words, not my words. May your people have an ear to hear what you have for them tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, tonight, I have a truth that I will give you that I'll be honest with you. I'm excited to give you. Christians today are weak, whiny, frail, fearful, and just plain anemic. Christianity is so weak because Christians seem to wander around with no foundation. They stand by emotion and not truth. They act with feeling and not with principles, and they wonder why they're so weak. Do you realize, listen to this statement, that the same words of God and the same Holy Spirit are available to you that were available to Moses? To Abraham, to David, to the disciples, to Jesus, to Moody, to Spurgeon, to J. Frank Norris, Brother Hiles, Lester Roloff, Lee Robertson, and so on. By the way, Jesus himself quoted the same scripture we use today. It is the same words of God. You look up to so many of these great people, but may I say this, you have the same strength, the same foundation available to you that was available to them. Say how? The Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God, is the foundation of all faith. It is the source of all faith. Look at Romans 10, verse 17 again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we get faith by the word of God. All real faith is based, it is birthed, and it is fostered in the word of God. This is why the Bible, and for the English-speaking people, the King James Bible is such an issue. All of the faith is based on that book right there. Every last bit of it. Now, I'm not going to throw a tirade, I don't think. When you cast doubt on the authority of the Bible, you begin to break down the faith. When you cast doubt on the Word of God, you begin to break down the faith. By the way, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, And I'm only going to quote the last part of the verse. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ooh. The author and finisher of our faith. You say, wait a minute, you said the word of God. Yes, he is the word of God. Now, listen to me. Let me give you about a 4-minute history lesson, and then we're going to jump back into the Bible. But it all builds on each other. Our nation's founding was based on the King James Bible, just so you know. There was no other version in the 1700s except the King James Bible or the Catholic Bible. And our forefathers had enough sense to know that the Catholic Bible was not the real Bible. By the way, that's why we didn't have a Catholic president until 1964. Everybody doing okay? watch this. In 1885, more than 100 years after our founding, the Revised Version came out. 1885. By the way, our forefathers studied the Bible. They studied its principles. They used it for morality, they used it for government, and they used it for success, even some of which who may not have been saved. My secretary and her family, Brother Mrs. Barnes and them, were down at the Library of Congress yesterday. You know, on Thomas Jefferson's shelf, he had a Cruden's Concordance, King James Bible, the Life of Christ, and many other Bibles that were King James Bibles that he used. A lot of people would call Thomas Jefferson an infidel. The lost people of 250 years ago had more Christianity than most Christians do today. He had a Greek New Testament that he read from. He had books written in French. He knew many different languages, and he read from a Greek New Testament. Now, I had this prepared long before that. Now, evolution and Marxist communism came on the scene. Anybody want to take a guess roughly what years those started taking a rise? 1880s, with the bringing on of the RV. The breakdown of the world was allowed to begin when we began casting doubt on that book right there. Marxist communism began earlier than that, but it was not propagated and not brought into world renown until the RV came out and began to cast doubt amongst Christianity on the Word of God. 2 generations later, listen to this statement. Actually, 2 generations later, America was teaching evolution in the public school system and not the Bible. In 1901, another version came out. It's called the ASV, or the American Standard Version. That was in accordance with our first progressively elected president, Teddy Roosevelt. He was a very well-known progressive. He started what is known as the progressive movement in America today. By the way, what you have for a president today considers himself a progressive. That came out with the ASV. This further pushed America into humanism, socialism, and communism. In 1952, the next major revision of, quote unquote, the Bible for English people was called the NASV, or the New American Standard Version. It was just after World War II, right at the beginning of the Korean conflict. And by this time, America was now letting communists come to America to teach in our campuses and colleges all over America. Fidel Castro came to the United States of America teaching in our campuses in the 1950s. Am I right, Brother Taylor? Okay. By the way, by the 1950s, under the leadership of FDR, the nephew of Teddy Roosevelt, the rewritten history and the rewritten science, including evolution, had been brought into the public school system. Everybody doing okay? In 1963, Madeline Murray O'Hara won her battle at the Supreme Court, and we kicked the Bible out. By the way, it was kicked out under our first Catholic president. Is it no wonder we had the hippie revolution and the socialist communist lovers in America of the 1960s? The young people would not leave America, not all, many, would not leave America to go fight communism in Vietnam because we had allowed the communists to come here and teach in our schools that communism and socialism is a good thing. And here we are today. Now everyone but God and Christians have freedom in America. Fox News today, a chaplain in the United States Army was severely reprimanded for using the Bible to help soldiers in suicide prevention. He was literally reprimanded, knocked down in rank, because he used the Bible and they said that's discrimination. He said, I'm a chaplain. They said, it doesn't matter. We now reject the Bible, God, and Jesus at all cost. America is falling apart as a nation because she's not been standing on the foundation of faith. And I hate to tell you, but that is the faith. We wonder why we got a bunch of wishy-washy, squishy Christians, can't stand for anything, they got a back like a rubber band, and we wonder why we've turned tail and run. Sodomy is the last sin before a nation is utterly destroyed. Go to Romans chapter 1 on your own. The farther away from the Bible America gets, the worse shape we are in. America has even lost faith in herself because we've pushed the words of God right out of the American life. Where is real patriotism in America? Looting, rioting in the streets is now acceptable if you don't get what you want. You can't listen to the news, read the news, watch the news without hearing people marching, people protesting, people marching, people protesting. If they've got enough time to protest, why don't they get off their blessed assurance and go out and get a job and work and do something? Now, tonight, we're going to look at the Bible and faith and see how it works together. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We are going to use our Bibles quite a bit here, so just get ready. Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. Everybody look at me. Jesus authored and finished our faith. Let me ask you a question. When you author something, what are you doing? You're writing. The Bible says that Jesus wrote down. He authored, not only started it, but he finished it. He completed it. He wrote down what it was. By the way, Jesus is the Word of God. I won't take time to turn there right now. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word is Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 19, just a few pages over to the right. Revelation chapter 19. And look at verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Whew, that's talking about Jesus, by the way, when he comes back at Armageddon. It says, and his name is called the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word of God. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, just a few pages back. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse number 7. Now, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, you'll find out that Mr. Scofield says this verse should be omitted, but Mr. Scofield should be omitted, not the verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, I want you to notice all three of those are equal. One says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. The other says water, blood, and Spirit. It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man, his physical birth, his rebirth, and the Word of God. Everybody see that? Okay, now, listen to this statement very carefully. I'm going somewhere. Jesus authored our faith. Our faith is in the words of God that God authored. Anything outside of that is humanism. When man says, I'm going to rewrite it and make it more understandable, he's adding humanism to the words of God. When man says, well, as the Martinsburg paper this morning printed and Brother Mark showed me tonight, somebody in the stupid paper said, well, all avenues to God are the same, whether it be Hindu or Buddha or Muslim or Christianity, it's all the same. That's called humanism. That's called stupid. So, Jesus authored our faith. Jesus is the Word of God. Therefore, the Word of God is the foundation of our faith. Number two, the words of God were used to create all that is. Creation was done by the words of God. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. Take your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. We read these verses last week. I want to read it again. I want you to just hang tight. A little review here. Verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by, watch this, the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I won't take time to turn to Genesis chapter 1, but 9 times in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said, and God called, and God said, God said, God called this, God said. By the way, when you call something, you're saying it, you're speaking it. 9 times in Genesis chapter 1, God is speaking this earth, the heavens, and everything that has been created. He was speaking it into existence by his words. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at one verse here. Look at verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. Notice God's talking about creation here. And he said it's by the word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. There's only one creation that God did not speak into existence. Anybody want to take a guess what that creation was? Man. But I want to show you something about man, creation, and the word of God. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed, he didn't create, he formed man out of the dust of the ground. Watch this. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God, listen to this, breathed into man, but he didn't breathe into any other creation. Do you know that animals lived, but God did not breathe the breath of life into them? You know that all the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth, God created, but he did not breathe into them the breath of life. Say, why? This is for those people that say the inspiration of the Bible is dead. They're idiots. And they're false prophets, and they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. God breathed into man the breath of life, the pneumas. It is the word spirit. God made man body, soul, and spirit. I got a little puppy dog. It's got a body, and it's got a soul. Soul meaning her personality. And buddy, she is a chick with an attitude. She's discovered how to sit in the couch in our living room on the top level of my house, sit right in the middle of it, and watch all the cars and the people go by. And she sits up there like she's queen of the house. And if she doesn't want to get down, you tell her to get down, she'll give you one of these looks. Like, what are you talking about? I'm doing what I want to do. And I look back at her and say, don't you look at me that way. Get down. Say, why? Because I've had other ladies look at me that way, and my dog's not going to do that to me. Wait a minute. God breathed into man the breath of life. I like my puppy dog, but it doesn't have a spirit. It has a body, it has a soul, but it has no spirit. I have a spirit. My daughter has a spirit. My boys have a spirit. My daughter-in-law has a spirit. My wife has a spirit. You have a spirit. You say, why? Because God breathed it into you and you became a living, a quickened soul. When you speak, you have to breathe. Do you know that you cannot speak without breath? Do you ever have the breath knocked out of you and you're going, there's no air going out. Man, there was air going out on that one. Tammy, hit him again. Now, wait a minute. Man, only at this church can he get that, amen? Man was to dominate or rule the earth system. Animals were here for man. Listen to me. Man was for God. God did not breathe into those animals the breath of life because they were for man to enjoy. But God said, I'm going to make man to last forever. I'll give him an eternal spirit that can dwell with me, that can fellowship with me, and I'll make him to be with me forever. Watch this. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. But we're going to talk about faith. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me. Now look at me. For by grace are ye saved through faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody look at me. When did God give to every man the measure of faith? The moment he breathed into man the breath of life. Do you know that each time a human being is born, God does not actually breathe into man the breath of life, but the breath of life comes into man? Now watch this. That takes the life eternal, and man messed it up by sin. That's why evolution goes against the word of God. Because they have to admit there is a creator that gave him life. When man sinned, his spirit died. And the Holy Spirit now gives us life eternal at salvation. When you get saved, you're not born again until the Holy Spirit regenerates, regenes. The Bible uses the word quickens, gives life to your spirit. What is the word spirit? Breath. The holy breath of God. So God gave man, after the fall of man, the Holy Spirit to give us life by the word of God. And God hath given to every man the measure of faith. What is that measure of faith? Every man knows he is a sinner in need of a Savior. And God made it available for the Holy Spirit to regenerate him if he'll only accept it. Now, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. You're in Romans, or should be. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 9. I'm about to shout. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here we go. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Whew. Now, the word Spirit, the word pneumas, the word breath. We are quickened by the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God, which is our faith. Now watch this. When you get saved, the Bible says we receive the spirit of adoption. God adopts you. This is where I might shout for a second. Hang on. Did you know that the word adopt is a legal term? That means you are, as a parent, taking the rights of another person to raise them. They're actually going to take your name, and you are assuming all legal and moral responsibilities for that person. By the way, it's initiated by the adopter, not the adopted. Everybody see that? Guess what? The adopter pays all costs. The only thing that the adopted has to do is receive it. Sounds like salvation to me. God legally paid for all of us. He took care of it. It's done. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. All we have to do is say, I'll accept it. I'll become one of your children. By the way, notice the ones that call him Abba Father are the ones that are adopted. The word Abba meaning daddy. We went from being of our father, the devil, to getting a new daddy, and his name is Jehovah God. And we have the right to go to him. Not only that, we become heirs with him and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Say, how does that happen? By the Spirit, by faith, by the Word of God. Now, take your Bible to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I have so much to do, so little time to do it. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you a verse here that will just help you come unscrewed. Look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you know that the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit go together? Salvation by faith, grace through faith, comes by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They're inseparable. So faith and the Word of God go hand in hand. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation again, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to read one verse that we read a little while ago, and I'm going to read two more with it. Verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp, what's the next word? That is, with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. Look at me. When we come back with Jesus at Armageddon, we're all following him on white horses, but he's in the lead. And on his vesture is written his name, the Word of God, and out of his mouth will come a sharp sword. Hebrews says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. When he comes back at Armageddon, he is going to speak the destruction. No weapons are necessary, just the Word of God. How did it all come? By faith. By faith. And faith and the Word of God and the Son of God and God the Father and the God the Holy Spirit all work together. They all come together in one neat little package. Now, here we go. I'm going to finish it up on this point tonight. The Bible and faith are forever. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Faith and the Word of God are forever. Psalm 119. And let's look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
That's right.
Now, I want you to notice one word there other than forever. Forever means forever future, but it also means forever past. Right? But the word settled, did you know that that word settled means finished? Forever, O Lord, thy word is finished in heaven. That means before the world was created, the word of God was settled. It was settled. God did not find people to fill in the blanks and write the Bible. He had the Bible already written, and he chose before who it would be that would give it to us. Everybody see that? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, the word settled, meaning finished. Turn back just a few pages. Psalm 117, verse number 2. For his merciful kindness is great towards us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Truth of the Lord. Huh. You know what the truth of the Lord is? It's the word of God, or the word of faith. Take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. Told you we were going to use our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 23. I'm about ready to have a cow. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory is the man of the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Folks, somebody that teaches you that the word of God is not the word of God, that we don't have the words of God, is preaching bad doctrine. And I hate to tell you, even fundamentalists who used to believe the word of God, who even used to go soul winning and did that, eventually they'll change as they start changing on the word of God. Say why? Because they begin a corruptible seed. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on. We're going to look at one verse. It's quoted in two other passages. Matthew chapter 24. If you didn't catch anything, get this. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Luke chapter 21, verse 33, virtually say almost identically, they use this term, shall not pass away. Miss Sally, here just a few weeks ago, your dear sweet husband passed away. Did you catch that term? The word pass away literally means, has the connotation of death. It has the word P-A-L-L in it, like pallbearer. I think your husband over here at the hospital, is it palliative care or... palliative care. The word P-A-L-L means death. The Greek word, and I'm not going to get into all this fancy schmancy garbage, it doesn't matter much, but the word pass away literally means death. Heaven and earth shall die, but my words shall not die. By the way, God will destroy the old heaven. God will destroy this earth and remake them because there has been sin in both places. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So the old heaven will die. The old earth will die. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, glory. Can I tell you how he's going to do it? By his word. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, and I'm done. Matthew 4, verse number 4. Well, let's start in verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ooh. Man has to have an every word Bible somewhere, or man cannot live. I have more respect for a liberal that says the RV is the word of God than I do for a fundamentalist that says, well, there's errors in the King James Bible too. Number one, there are no errors in it. You have printers from worldly corporations making money on the word of God that have changed it. Thomas Nelson Press, Zondervan, Broadman Press, all of them have changed words in the Bible and made typo errors. Yes, they have. But that's because they're making money on it. Everybody doing okay? There are no errors in that book right there. If you look in Matthew chapter 4 and look at the verses that Jesus quotes, by the way, he calls them scripture. Some of them were thousands of years old, and they weren't only inspired in the originals, Mr. Liberal. Jesus himself called it scripture. You know why? Because he is the Word of God. He was quoting Old Testament passages when he called it scripture. Well, listen to me very carefully. Man has to hear the words of God to have spiritual life by faith that was breathed into man. You do not get saved apart from that book right there. Period. End of discussion. When I go soul winning, I use my Bible. I'm not against using a gospel tract. I know it has the word of God on there. But I pull my Bible out and use my Bible. Say, well, I might offend somebody. Go ahead and offend them. Show them the word of God. Well, they might not listen. That's their problem, not yours. You're just supposed to deliver it. I'm not saying don't just ever use a gospel tract. I've been in situations that's all I had with me at the moment. Not very many times. But may I say this, you got to use the Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They don't care what you say, they want to hear what God said. That's literally true, just so you know. Now, you cannot separate the Bible and faith. You can't. By the way, you can't separate the Bible and inspiration. Because inspiration means inspirited. And when you take this inspiration away from that book right there, you took the Holy Spirit and you took the Son of God and separated it from the Word of God. Any preacher who says the inspiration of the Bible is dead has just said Jesus is dead and did not resurrect, and the Holy Spirit is dead. Just so you know. Well, that's not what they meant. I don't care what they meant. That's what they said, and they're messing with the faith. Period. By the way, I believed this a long time ago. You won't find this written down in a bunch of theology books anywhere. You'll find it written in that book right there. It's been laid out very carefully for you. It's been laid out very calculatively for you. You do not separate the Bible and faith. By the way, here's where we're going with tonight's message. The more you live by the Bible, the more faith you're going to have. Oh, I wished I had your faith, preacher. Get in that book like I get in that book, and your faith will be strengthened. Promise you. Not just reading it, but living it. And the more you live it, guess what? The more faith you get. And the more faith you get, the more you want to read it. And the more you read it and live it, the more faith you get. And the more faith you get, the more you want to read it, and the more you want to live it. You know, I had no problem preaching what I preach Sunday night. You know, I have no problem preaching what I preach. Say, oh, you're just so strong in your faith. Because that book is quite strong. Quite strong. I don't have anything to worry about because he authored it. He finished it. It's all I got to do is proclaim it. The more faith you have, the more you can please God. We read, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And let me say this, you can't please him when you go against that book. You cannot please him when you go against that book. How am I going to find out where I'm supposed to be in the will of God? You do what you're supposed to do in the will of God, and he'll show you where to go. Until then, keep doing it where you're at. He'll make it real clear. I have never struggled in knowing the will of God. Never. Not one time. If I struggled, it wasn't it. Now, there was times I wrestled with it because I didn't want to do it. But I didn't struggle knowing what it was. Not one time. Can I tell you why? Because I was busy doing what I was supposed to do. I was busy doing what I was supposed to do. Say, oh, you have such great faith. No, I don't. I got a great book. It's full of faith. Because all I got to do is live it. Because all I got to do is read it and follow it and follow its principles. And guess what? It's amazing how my faith gets stronger each time I do that. Oh, well, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to not pay my house payment, and I'm going to give it to God for this month and see if God will bring up the rest. No, that's foolishness. That's not faith. The Bible says, owe no man anything. If you have to take a debt, pay it. But don't you rob God in the process. Everybody see what I'm talking about? We get this wacky idea that faith is this, well, I'm going to jump out of an airplane without a parachute, and God's going to take care of me. No, you're going to go splat and make a mess. That's foolish. We get this Pentecostal, charismatic, hodgepodge, messed up, wacky, oh, we're just going to live by faith. You're an idiot. Yeah, there's a lot of things I don't see, but I follow what that book says. And I get through it, and wow, when your faith becomes sight. Faith and the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Your faith and that book go hand in hand. I promise you. I promise you. The more you're in that book, the stronger your faith will be. You show me when you're an emotional wreck where nobody can please you, and I'll show you a time in your life where you're not in that book, following that book, living that book like you should be. Every time. Every time. Every time my emotions get the best of me, I got to run back to that book because I'm following what I want to do and not what God wants me to do. Every time. I didn't say you're not going to get out of sorts. I didn't say you'd never be angry, but the Bible says be angry and sin not. There must be a time to get angry. Huh. It has the answer to everything you need. But just know this, the Bible and faith go together. You cannot separate them. They have to be together. Say why? Because thy word is faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Plain and simple. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe tonight you were challenged to be strengthened in your faith. Maybe tonight you were challenged to get in your Bible more. Well, I read it through in a year. Okay, how much of it are you living? How much are you living? How important is your faith? How important is that book to you? I wonder.